Esham gosha divasinam utabhavam. Esham gosha nivasinam utabhavam. Kinde varate tinas. Cheto vishva palat falam tvadaparam. Utrapyayan huyati. Sadveshati vaputa napi sabhula. Tvam neva deva pita yata mata sugrit priyat matanaya prana shayastvat krite. Again Lord Brahma is praying to Krishna. He says, my mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions which you bestow upon the residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Bhutana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated only to you? Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine. Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Satarine. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Shadi Go Bhaktavinda. Who of you remember what was Brahma's desire yesterday? I mean, when we talked about yesterday.
Of the devotees.
Of the devotees? Which devotees? Any devotee?
Devotees of Krishna?
Yeah. No. I'm thinking of the devotees in Vrindavan. These are very special devotees, the Rajavasis. So Krishna had not directly answered him if he would say yes or no. So Brahma thought for a while and said, okay, my dear Lord, if you do not wish to answer my question with yes or no, I still have something which is very much on my mind, and I'm thinking about this and I cannot come to a solution. You must know Brahma is very intelligent, so there's something which highly involves him. And then he says this verse, my mind becomes totally perplexed when I think of you, and in my opinion you're not able to repay a debt which you have. So Krishna might ask, well, I'm unlimited, I'm the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how could I be arm by Kasse, sagt man, glaube ich, in Deutsch, how could I be insolvent? That it means incapable to repay a debt. And then Brahma, he tells about Krishna his doubt. Well, there was one demon, Bhutana, who only disguised herself so that she looked like a demon. devotee, but her motive was to kill you. She came into the assembly of your devotees and had prepared the most deadly poison, and then she wanted to murder you with this poison. What did you do? Only for the fact that she disguised herself. She was only outwardly a devotee, not inwardly. You gave yourself to this murderous demon. So now there are your real devotees. They are the Brijbasis. They have given for you their homes, their wealth, their friends, bodies, children, very lives and hearts. They are all dedicated to you. So if you gave already to a demon such a high reward, I don't know what you will give to the Brijbasis, because what more do you have than yourself? Now you are insolvent. Plus, you must know, you gave yourself already away to Putana. Now you can't give one present two times. This would be highly immoral. You have given yourself, now then you take yourself back, and then the same self which you have already given away once, you give it away for the second time. This would be highly unethical. This cannot be done. So my question now is, what will you give them? I my mind is perplexed, says Brahma. I cannot solve this very difficult question. And then Brahma thinks for a while, and then he thinks, well, no, then Krishna answers. He says, well, I gave to the Brijbasis more than just myself. I gave to all their sons, to all their daughters, to even the animals and the insects. I gave myself in multiple forms, not just one Krishna. I'm giving myself to everyone, but I have only one relationship with Putana. The Brahma says, this is not correct. You must know that you have given yourself also to the family members of Putana. Look at Bakasura and Agasura. They were also relations related to Putana. They were the brother and sisters. Putana had all these close friends, these super demons who came, and you gave yourself to them as well, didn't you? So I can't see, Krishna, how you will solve this dilemma. I just can't see it. And this perplexes me. Also Brahma feels in his heart that the devotion of the Brijbasis deserves a better remuneration, belonging, than the hatred of the demons. He really feels that he thinks that it's so good, the demons are so bad. So Jiva Goswami writes a very, very interesting commentary on this. He says that by this pastime of killing the Putana witch and then giving her the position of his nurse, Ame, Krishna began his merciful manifest pastimes on the earth. And this pastime is particularly attractive to the devotees of Lord Krishna, because it shows Krishna's causeless mercy. This Bhutana had just been a fake devotee, that is, not a real devotee, but only from the outside, a show bottle devotee. I mean, by dressing like a Brajbasi and pretending to want to do some service for Krishna. So the devotees will think, well, if she got the mercy, then I, who am certainly not desiring to kill my Lord, I may not be very qualified, but I may even be a shadow devotee myself, dressed in dhoti and sari with a got tilak on my forehead. I mean, I'm not so bad as Bhutana. So I have some chance. So the devotee is very relieved when he hears this pastime. The devotee may have heard so much previously about qualifications and disqualifications that he sometimes may feel some discouragement in Mutigong. But now, where he hears that this demon got the mercy, the devotee thinks, well, I have a good chance, and my chance is very good. And in this way, this pastime is very dear to the devotees of Lord Krishna, who really like to meditate on the causeless mercy of Krishna. I don't know how you are, but I very much appreciate Krishna's causeless mercy, and I become very, very disheartened when I hear about high qualifications, and I really think this feeling, this genuine devotee feeling, which we know very well from our hearts, is expressed by Rupa Goswami in a very beautiful prayer. You know, this first of all, this pain in the heart when we hear of these big qualifications which we don't have, but then the relief when we hear that Krishna is causelessly merciful. There's a very nice verse from Stavamala. It reads like this: O destroyer of the demon Agasura, my heart burns with despair, also verbrennt vor Verzweiflung, when I hear of the difficult spiritual practices of saints of the old times like Shukadev or Ambarish Maharaj. Ambarish fasted for one whole year. For I am totally devoid of devotion. I can't match up to this. But when I hear from the scriptures and from the sadhus that the waves of your compassion are flowing towards everyone, from Brahma down to the lowliest creature, the drops of nectarian hope cool my heart and pacify. This is also known amongst the Vaishnavas of the south, that Krishna is solabhya. Solabhya means easily accessible, the most accessible personality of Godhead. This I have read in this magazine, Nishina Priya. Why is he so accessible? Well, because he is so merciful. He is a compassion in that, and this compassion is very much celebrated or highlighted in this very, very amazing pastime, where Lord Krishna gave himself to the Bhutana and her family members in exchange for disguising herself as a devotee. So this is highlighted here, and this comes out another time, and Hari, I would maybe like you to go into my Shastra bag and get the Bhagavatam in one volume and open it at the third canto, second chapter, text 23. There is a very famous verse which appears again in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. There we find how Mukunda goes on a walk with Gadadhar and asks Gadadhar, would you like to see today a real devotee, Gadadhar? Gadadhar says, yes, sure. And Mukunda brings him right to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Now, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is dressed like a prince, nicely oiled hair, the most precious dress. He sits on a sofa which is on pure golden. This is pure golden frame, sofa gestell aus Gold, and has two spittoons, Spucknäpfe, made from gold. And there is a servant who fans him with air. Get out of it! This is a devotee? Dann heiße ich ja Heinrich. So then Mukunda begins to sing one verse. Can I have this light please, because it's a little dark for the verse he sings is here. Aho Bakiyam, can't really read it.
Should I print the halogen lamp?
Halogen lamp? No, we can do it like this. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than Krishna, who granted the position of mother to the she demon Putana, although she was unfaithful, and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast. So Uddhava says this verse where he wonders about, has the same question which Brahma cannot solve. That this is too much mercy. It is beyond any calculation, isn't it? Do you notice them? Now, of course, when our Mukunda sings this verse and Pundariki Vidyanidhi hears, what a mercy! He begins to just fall from the sofa in ecstasy. He rolls on the ground. He kicks violently with his legs. The sofa, the golden sofa, flies through the house and goes on the road, breaks into pieces. And 10 men are not able to hold him. He is so much in ecstasy. And shakes. And Gadadhar looks at this. And then he sees how Pundarik is on the ground calling out, oh Krishna, and cries, has many tears at the whole Ganges river, it's a whole tears are rolling from the eyes, and Gadadhar, Gadadhar thinks, I'm sorry, I made an offense. I really see I have misjudged a devotee by his external features. There's only one way up till now I atone for this. Up till now I have not surrendered to a spiritual master. I have not yet taken initiation. I will request Pundarik to accept me as his disciple. That's the only way for me. I have no question. He surrenders. Mukunda talks later to Pundarik about Gadadha, who was renounced from his childhood. And so this verse is really the verse which has, or this pastime is the pastime which has had many great devotees thinking about Krishna's mercy, either in total ecstasy like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, or other devotees like Uddhava and Brahma, just were totally überfragt, you know. They couldn't deal with this mercy of Krishna. So now the question of this verse is there anyone more merciful than Krishna? And there's an answer to this question. Yes, it is the personalities whose picture does not appear on this wall, on the wall of this temple room. It's Srimati Radharani, who is often described to be the incarnation of Krishna's compassion, or the compassionate side of Krishna. In Rupa Goswami's Ujjvala Nilamoni, there is a very amazing verse about Radharani's compassion. There, Vrinda Devi tells Purnamasi, "O Devi, someone as compassionate as Srimati Radharani cannot be found. One day she saw a newly born calf whose mouth was pierced by a blade of grass. She began to shed tears of compassion, took the sharp grass out of the mouth, and smeared the lips of the cow with fresh kumkuma disinfection. Now Jiva Goswami has deeply meditated about this pastime. That Radharani has so many things to do, but there's a little calf who has been too greedy and eaten the wrong straw, and she takes care of the little calf and bandages him. Jiva Goswami has deeply thought about this calf, and he found out the calf was born to one of Krishna's favorite cows. And from this, Jiva Goswami has made a very nice observation. He said, Radharani is more compassionate to someone who pleases and serves Krishna. Like the cow was pleasing Krishna, and this calf had a direct connection to this favorite cow of Krishna. So therefore, when someone comes to Radharani but he does not he worships her without Krishna in his mind, then Radharani will not give so much mercy. Radharani will give much mercy if someone has a relationship of service to Krishna. Then she feels all this. Just like this calf was connected to a cow which pleased Krishna. This soul is related to Krishna. Of course, Radharani also looks if the soul is connected with someone who pleases Krishna. That's a very important question in spiritual spiritual dimension, that we need to be connected to someone who is dear to Krishna. Sometimes, or one time, I read some very nice article by a very nice Vaishnava who was thinking what he would say when he is standing before Yamaraj, the god of death. How would he introduce himself? Would he say, "Yamaraj, I have tried to make this or do that"? Would that impress Yamaraj really? And then this devotee answered his question by saying, "No, I would say, was a god brother of mine, Prabhupada, I know, Yamaraj, I'm a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. This is my best qualification." And then Yamaraj would say, "Wow, really? A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I know him very well. Really, you are directly connected. Please tell me about him. How was he?" You know, that would be very, very good. Very good. Really, that one. Germany, we say, one would have a very good Empfehlung. So Radharani is very merciful to someone who is connected with someone who pleases Krishna. Thought that was a very nice detail. So, but Radharani's compassion is described by Rupa Goswami: apara karuna pura puritanta manohare prasidas minjane devi nijadasya sprihayushi. Your heart is like an ocean of compassion with high waves. Oh Radharani, please let your mercy flow into my heart and be satisfied with this person who wants to become your servant. Nice, isn't it? So when we go to Krishna, when we want to reach Krishna, we will first go to Radharani, because she is more compassionate even than Krishna. To Lord Chaitanya. Then, even more merciful than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Lord Nityananda. There's always it's never too late for anyone in devotional service. Some of us go to Lord Shingadev. He's certainly also very merciful. I think there are many wonderful stories of his extraordinary mercy. So but to whomever we go, we want to go to, we want to approach the Lord by the road of mercy, isn't it? Not by the road of our qualification. Here I come, a very qualified Vaishnava. Now we go over the road of mercy. Good, this is what I wanted to say. It's very nice. I'm reading to you what I'm writing during the day, and these are not the notes which I have here are very incomplete, but what I'm saying is much, much more. I have now the commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Previously there was only the commentary of Sanatana Goswami. So these amazing questions are all from the Goswamis. It's I think when you listen to this logic, like how they this is a question, then you think, oh, yes, a very good question. Why didn't I think about this question? isn't it? You think the thing is a very good question. I'm now very interested to hear the answer. I think it is not possible for Krishna to answer this question. And in this way our mind becomes intrigued, because we really, these questions or these thoughts about Krishna are not material. We just can never think of these in these ways. We have a different way of thinking really than the acharyas or the great devotees. But when we hear the thoughts of the great devotees, our inquisitiveness becomes, or our Krishna consciousness becomes evoked. It's a little bit like when an ordinary person goes to the harmonium, he only makes noise. But when a good harmonium player plays on the harmonium, then he will be able to evoke so many nice melodies from the harmonium. You know, or a better example is maybe the veena. Veena is very beautiful when it is played by an expert. So when the devotees, great devotees, talk about the shastras, and so many melodies come out of the book, isn't it? They know how to play the instruments. They may also, sometimes we may feel how our Krishna conscious emotions are awakened by listening to them. Now the Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur puts this question. Then some Krishna consciousness becomes evoked. Good. So we will end here.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitaye ki jai, Gaur Prema Nandi, Hari Hari Bol.